This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
19 minutes after 9, and a very great pleasure to welcome to the studio Christine Cousins, who is the State Member for Geelong. Christine, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Now, nice to see you once again, and there's lots to talk about today. I suppose the most prominent issue might be the front cover of today's paper, Name Them and Shame Them. Now, I've asked you about this several times, and I assume that your view still remains the same.
Yeah, well, it certainly does, and as I said, you know, I suppose if people want to stand again, councillors who were dismissed, then if they were under investigation, that investigation will continue, and that's not a threat from me, that's the law, that's how it works. And I think, you know, all previous councillors need to be held accountable for what's happened at City Hall.
Well, I read, of course, that article in the Geelong Indie, which featured you saying that it will be reinvestigated, the issues of former councillors, if they rerun again. And Darren Lyons, of course, responded, saying that was outrageous. And he's come on this program and basically said the whole process has been a, quote, kangaroo court, end quote. Not many instances of bullying. He says there were some, but not as many as some have made out. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you only have to read the report. So, you know, at the end of the day, people can have their opinions, but have your opinion after you've read the report. And I think, you know, the previous mayor has, you know, has his opinion, and that's fine. And he can run again, and, you know, whatever the consequences of that are, so be it. But I think, you know, if people have concerns about what's being said, I would suggest that they read the report and then make their own mind up.
Are you surprised by how many former councillors have already put their hand up to rerun?
I suppose in some ways I am, in some ways I'm not. I think, you know, some people may be putting their hand up who weren't under investigation, and that's their right to do that. But I think overall, and as I've said to you in the past, I think the entire council have to take responsibility because they were the elected officials that were there at the time.
And, of course, the new council will be coming in very, very soon. What do you think they have to do to sort of change the wrongs of the past? I imagine when they come in, there's going to be a very conscious feeling that they have to sort of set the council on a new trajectory to move forward for Geelong. So what do you think that you'd like to see them do?
Well, I think they need to follow the recommendations that were made from the inquiry. You know, there's quite a lot of recommendations there that the administrators won't have time to implement. And I think it's incumbent on those newly elected councils to continue the work that's been undertaken.
And the justification for sacking the previous council wasn't just the bullying, it was a lack of forward planning. Darren Lyons' response to that was, well, you can't predict what's going to happen in 30 years' time. What do you think of that?
Well, I think you can, to a degree. I mean, I think the city needs a vision, and that's what we've been lacking in for a very long time. There's been no vision about what Geelong could be into the future. We know we have quite a large population growth happening in the city. So, you know, working, and I suppose the administrators have been working with the state government, looking at that 30-year vision, and how many schools do we need? How many hospitals do we need? How many universities do we need? I mean, all those things, road infrastructure, medical services, there's, you know, goes on forever. But, you know, a council that's doing its job would be looking at that vision of the future, knowing that the predictions in population are quite significant over the next 10 to 20 years. So let's start working on that.
And there's a bit of excitement around the city at the moment, cranes in the skies and all that sort of thing. And in the Geelong Indie, different people are taking credit for it, of course. Darren Lyons has said that's his work and that was the previous council. You've said, well, no, it's because they were dismissed that that's happened. Who do you think's right?
Well, I think I'm right, obviously.
Bit of an easy question.
I mean, I think we, as a state government, we went to the election when we're in opposition saying these are the things we're going to do, and we've followed through with those. And, you know, you just got to walk through the city and see the significant development. As you say, the cranes in the sky, things are happening. You know, the tech school started, GPAC redevelopment's about to start, WorkSafe buildings running ahead of time, so that will be opening soon. The laneways projects, the Water Garden in Johnson's Park, the Green Spine, they're all happening right now as we speak. So, you know, if you look back a few years ago, nothing was happening. There was all the infighting within the council about what they were going to do when then nothing ever happened. You know, mixed messages, not only from councils, but the councillors, but from other players in the game as well. So all that infighting resulted in nothing. So what we're seeing now is a state government that has worked very strongly with the city council and the administrators to ensure that the projects that need to happen are actually happening.
Now, the state opposition leader was here on Thursday night for the Committee for Geelong's annual dinner, and I noticed that you sent a representative there to represent you. And at that dinner, he spoke about having a minister for Geelong. Is that a plan that you would support?
Oh, look, we already have two ministers who are in the Geelong region. I don't agree with wasting taxpayers' money on appointing a minister for Geelong when we already have, well, actually we have three ministers in Geelong, the Geelong region, yeah. Including Gail Tini. So when you've got three ministers sitting around the table of cabinet from the Geelong region, I think it's a waste of money to have another person appointed as the minister for Geelong.
Opposition leader has said, though, that yes, we have people sitting around the cabinet table that are from Geelong, but this person as a minister, their sole responsibility, their actual job would be to advocate for Geelong, and he says that's what this city needs. So you think there's enough advocacy happening at the moment?
Look, I think there's more than enough advocacy happening. Obviously, my key role is to advocate for Geelong, which I do, and, you know, I'm proud to say I do very well. Every minister knows about Geelong. Every minister knows what, you know, we want to see happening in Geelong. And, of course, the Premier has a significant commitment to Geelong as well. So, look, you know, I just think that if setting up another ministry is a waste of money. I think people are more concerned about delivering. And this was a government that was in for 4 years and did absolutely nothing. So, you know, over the weekend talking to my constituents, they're saying, well, how do we know that they're going to deliver? Because they certainly didn't deliver one single thing in Geelong in their 4 years in government.
One of the interesting things that the opposition leader said in an interview with me, which is coming up a little bit later on the program today, was that he got stuck on a level crossing in Kilgore Street, I think it was, and he says that we'd probably have level crossing removals in Geelong if there was a minister for Geelong rather than just in Melbourne. What do you think about that?
Well, he can say whatever he likes. They didn't do anything about it when they were in government. I think, you know, there are particular difficulties around the Kilgore level crossing. As all Geelong people know, the way it's constructed, coming through the tunnel, all those issues. So that's not an easy solve. That's not to say that we won't look at it into the future. Mm. I think what we're concentrating on is the level crossings where people are being killed on a regular basis. And they're the 50 level crossings that have been targeted. Obviously, once we start working through that program, other level crossings will be targeted. I know that Lara is a priority. So, you know, and in Kilgore Street, we're not having major incidents. Okay, so we got stuck once in the last how many years? You know, I think we need to be realistic and not just jump on, you know, one-off incidents or rare incidents when they happen and say, oh, well, we've got to fix that. Well, you know, we've got to be realistic about that, and we've also got to be realistic about where we're pouring money into.
A final question on this point, the waterfront idea, that we're going to have a massive stretch of redeveloped waterfront. What do you think of that proposal?
Well, that's an interesting one, and most of the feedback I've had over the weekend has been, you know, we have a beautiful waterfront now. Why would you want to be digging it up and, you know, removing our trees and, you know, and I'm not opposed to looking at future development for the waterfront, but I think we need to be looking at providing facilities for families and particularly families with children. You know, we do have the skateboard park down there and the playground down at the other end at Eastern Beach. But I think there are other ideas that we can implement without digging up the waterfront and destroying what's there. I think it is very beautiful. Also, the other issue that's come up over the weekend that I've heard from constituents is start putting some money into other areas outside the waterfront. So, you know, I'm really keen to continue to talk to my constituents about what they think, you know, some future projects could be in Geelong.
To change tact slightly, there's been a bit of talk about gambling reform and I suppose questions about the number of poker machine licences in Geelong. What do you think about the level of poker machines in Geelong at the moment?
Oh, look, I mean, gambling's always an issue when it comes to people being addicted to gaming. There's no doubt about that. But I think recently the figures are showing that there's more gambling online than there are in poker machines.
Well, that was my next question,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very easy to get on your mobile and gamble in a whole range of things, from what I understand.
With your credit card, with money you don't even have.
Well, that's right. You know, you're spending money you don't have. And that's more of a serious issue now than ever before. You know, I think when we're talking about poker machines, we're talking about people's jobs as well. I mean, they're already there. They're already established, you know, and I'm not advocating either way, but I do understand that there are quite a lot of jobs involved in those locations where the poker machines are.
My view is that we've brought in gambling in Victoria, of course, back in the early 1990s, and I suppose it's really too late to wind it back, really, because I think if you reduce the number of poker machine licences, people that are still problem gamblers will go and find other pokies venues. They're not going to be deterred from gambling, or they'll just gamble on their phone, as you say. So, you know, it is going to penalise the people that apparently are the majority that enjoy going to the pokies for a pastime. I personally don't like playing the pokies, but I know a lot of people that do.
Yeah, well, same here. And, you know, when the issue comes up, I hear from people saying, well, you know, it's our right to go and play the pokies. We, you know, put $10 in or $20 in and that's a bit of fun, but that's the extent of it. You're never going to be able to remove gambling completely. And I know that people, are, you know, there's a majority, a small majority of people that are, or minority of people that are, addicted to poker machines. But as you say, if you remove the poker machines, they're going to find another. It's about the services we put in place to support those people, to ensure that, you know, they are getting the support they need.
That was also my next question. Do you think we as a state have enough of these services to support problem gamblers?
Look, I think the services are there. It's a matter of whether people want to take up those services as well. It's like any addiction. The person has to make that decision themselves. You can't drag them kicking and screaming to counselling or any other service. They have to make that decision that they want to do that.
Step one is admitting you have a problem.
That's right. And, you know, the services are well advertised, and it's up to people to take up those options. You know, I understand that, you know, there are concerns about people going to the pokies on payday and blowing all their money. It's a terrible thing, a terrible thing. But, you know, it's a bit like we're human beings. You can't, you know, there's a whole lot of things you can't do with human beings.
Yeah. And final question, an interesting article from Karen Matthews, a columnist in the Advertiser, about the mall or the mall, depending on where you come from. What do you think about that space? She talks about it being quite a blight on the city in prime real estate, that there are criminal activities and things that go on there, and it's intimidating for regular shoppers passing by. Is there a quick and easy solution there?
Oh, of course there's not. And, you know, there's always been locations in Geelong. I'm Geelong born and bred, and I can tell you a whole range of spots that we used to go and hang out. So it doesn't matter what you do, there will always be somewhere where young people will hang out, and there'll be the, I suppose, the negative elements of that that you'll always get. I just think there's no simple solution to this issue. We need to be looking at, okay, how do we revitalise that area of the mall without, I suppose, being negative towards young people, because, you know, my concern is that we need to be putting services in for young people, not condemning them and, you know, calling them mall rats and all that sort of stuff. I think that's really negative. We need, as a community, to take a far better approach. We need to look at why these young people are in the mall. You know, why aren't they in education or, you know, those sorts of things. And we've recently started a project to start doing that. But I think, you know, also offering services and facilities and activities within that area that engage those young people as well. And, you know, the argument that we should move all the buses out of Merrill Street, I don't agree with. I talk to constituents and they're saying, well, you can't move the buses. That's where we get on and off our bus. So you put them all the way up Yarra Street, for example. Well, that's just much further for us to have to walk, particularly elderly people. So on the one hand, you know, we're going to rip off the public transport system that people rely on, and then kick the young people out of the mall. I just don't think that's a great
answer. I thought
that
point about the buses sort of demonised bus travellers a bit.
Yes,
it was like,
it does.
You're not allowed to have bus travellers near our shops because they're not the right sort of people. I thought that was a bit strange.
It is, and I find it quite offensive in lots of ways that constituents coming into the CBD are deemed to be somehow not worthy of coming into Moorabool Street.
Unless
I don't understand it. And they are the people that are using those shops in some instances as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that is not a solution that we should be considering. You know, you may want to reduce the number of buses travelling through there because it can be quite congested. But at the same time, for any of that to happen, I would have to be convinced that my constituents are not being ripped off.
Well, Christine, thank you very much for coming in for another wide-ranging discussion. Yes. And we'll see you in September.
Yes.
Good on you.
Thank you,
Christine Cousins, there, State Member for Geelong.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.